everybody. Welcome back. Welcome to Stop Telling Me to Relax. It is Friday night and my mind is going frantic. And I had an idea for an episode. And so I wanted to hop on and record. So let's see, where do I start? So this week, or even the past like 2 weeks, I have been obsessed with what is going on between Lily Allen and her ex-husband, her second ex-husband, David Harbour, I think is his name. I love celebrity gossip. I love just, you know, finding out different things about what's going on for different celebrities. And so finding out about this, I have been obsessed watching every YouTube video, every creator that's made content about it, every interview, read every article. I just became obsessed with it. And I watched a video on YouTube by a creator named Melanie Little talking about these two and this marriage, this divorce, and kind of pointing out some of the red flags about men like David Harbour. And it really then sparked an idea in my head to do an episode about single moms and how they kind of get preyed upon or like hunted down, I guess, by men that have characteristics like David Harbour. And if you know anything about Lily Allen, she is a single mom. She has two girls from her first marriage. And as I've been reading through things and I find out about this relationship and kind of how everything transpired, it makes me feel like, I don't want to say he like went after her because she's a single mom, that maybe he felt like he could get away with some things in the relationship. But I feel like maybe subconsciously he did that. And because she is single and a single mom and lonely, she kind of fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I don't know if that's a word, hook, line, and sinker. I don't know. Anyways, so I want to talk about that relationship and talk about some of the red flags and talk about how, as single mothers, we really need to look out for these red flags and some of these men, and really avoid as best we can getting into a situation like the one that Lily Allen got herself in with this man. So let's start here. I'm going to, if you don't know who Lily Allen is or David Harbour, I didn't really know who he was before this either. I'm just going to, let's talk a little bit about them first, who each of them are. So Lily Allen is from the UK, so she's British. She's a singer. I've always had a really big love for Lily Allen. I don't know what it is. I've always liked her music. She's one of the few artists that I feel like, you know, came from the UK and really has become famous also in the United States. I feel like that's hard for artists to do. And besides like the Spice Girls and maybe Oasis, and I'm sure there's a few other, I don't know. Like, you know, there's very few artists that can be successful in the UK and also really take off in America too. And she did that, especially like in the 2010s, 2000s. So I always really liked her. But also, her birthday is close to mine, born the same year. She was born on May 2nd, 1985. My birthday is the 7th, also born in 85. So always feel like we were kindred spirits in that way because she's like just my Taurus sister. I just always, I know that sounds kind of corny because like, of course, I don't know her, but I always felt like just close to her because of that. You know, she does have a kind of a troubled reputation, a troubled past, which I think I'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, she I don't think she drinks anymore. I think she's in recovery, but was a very heavy drinker and just kind of has no problem just saying what she wants. But she just has kind of a reputation of just being a kind of a wild child when she was younger. So Lily Allen, let's see. Like I said, this is her second marriage. Her first marriage was to a guy named Sam Cooper. Now, I'm not judging by looks, but just physically looking at both of them, they don't seem like a match. But, you know, I know nothing about Sam Cooper. I think he's a builder, decorator. He doesn't look like her type, considering that she's kind of, you know, just a drinker and liked to go out to bars and liked to party. And maybe he was like that too, but I don't know. He just doesn't look like her type. So I don't know. But they were married in, let's see, 2011, July of 2011. And were married for a while. They had two children together, two girls. One was born in 2011, the other one in 2013, and they divorced in June of 2018. So they were married for about 7 years. So that's just kind of like the foundation of Lily Allen. Then, okay, so let's move on and talk about David Harbour. So David Harbour is 50 years old. When I was doing a little bit of research on each of them, his birthday is like in early April. I think it's the 9th or 10th, which makes him Aries. Now, no disrespect to any Aries out there, but for me, Aries and Aquarius are the two, Aries, Aquarius, and Leo are the zodiac signs that I do not care for. That was the first thing for me that immediately kind of made me not like him. But then from there, so let's see what else about him. David Harbour's from New York. He went to Dartmouth College. He got a BA. I knew David Harbour from Stranger Things. I don't watch Stranger Things, but my son loves Stranger Things. He's very excited for this new season or the final season that's coming out. I've watched a couple of episodes with him, so I kind of remember David Harbour or just his character. So I don't really know who he is, but he was familiar to me. But he's also starred in a lot of other things. He was in Hellboy, Violet Knight, which from looking at the movie poster looks like a thriller centered around Christmas time, like Silent Night, Violet Night, you know, a Christmas horror film, I guess. Thunderbolts, which I am aware of that I think the second one just came out this summer. Black Widow, Gran Turismo, Suicide Squad. So he's been in a lot of movies. He kind of always does sci-fi, science fiction, comic books, thrillers type movies. He's a very big guy and the big stature. So I can assume he always kind of does those like superhero, not, I don't want to say superhero, but like comic book villain. So a little bit about David Harbour personally, which we can kind of start leading into some of the dirt about him and why he's a major red flag. He has a history of substance abuse, which of course doesn't make him a bad person. But considering what we know about him now and hearing that he has this big history with substance abuse, it kind of all tracks to like, he's not the greatest, not the person you want to marry. He has a history of hospital stays, like 5150, I guess. I don't know if they're 5150s, but hospital stays in psychiatric hospitals. He has a diagnosis of bipolar, which, again, does not make him a bad person. I'm just saying, if things are not being worked on to make yourself a better person, then all of these issues aren't going to mesh well in a relationship, a marriage. He's had a couple of famous girlfriends, public relationships with famous people. The first one that I found out was Julia Stiles from Save the Last Dance, Allison Sodell, and then he's currently dating some 27-year-old named Ellie Beers Fallon. But each of his previous long-term relationships both ended, from what I've read online, allegedly because it was very toxic. He was abusing substances, which was affecting the relationship. It was just a very toxic, unhealthy relationship because of his, in large part, I would assume, because of his drinking and mental health issues that he never wanted to work on, I guess. So how did Lily Allen and David Harbour, let's get into how they met. So they met, first red flag for me, how they met. They met online. They met on Raya, which if you don't know what Raya is an online dating app, but it's exclusive. It's only for famous people, pretty much, or any, you know, famous influencers, people in LA, New York, London. You have to be asked and invited to join Raya, I guess, or get some sort of code to join or apply. I don't really know. I'm obviously not a famous person, so I've never been asked to be on Raya or really know how it works, but it's not like any of the other dating apps you can just join. You have to be asked or be somebody to be on Raya. So they met on Raya, they dated for a little while, then they got married in the best place that everybody who has successful marriages gets married in. Married in Las Vegas after like a year of dating. That was in 2021. So that kind of just sets the scene for me right there. I don't know. Of course, there's nothing wrong with getting married in Las Vegas. My parents actually got married in Las Vegas. But for me, what makes their Vegas wedding a red flag is that after, for the reception, I guess, they went to In-N-Out. There's a picture online. I guess it was just only them two and her two daughters. And they posted a picture eating outside of In-N-Out, like on the patio. I don't know if you would call it a patio, but like outside area. And I love In-N-Out. I'm a California girl through and through. I love it. I don't know. It gives me a vibe. Like, it just seems very low effort on his part. You know, I mean, the man you marry is supposed to, like, want to give you the wedding that you want. And maybe that is the wedding that she wanted. She wanted something low-key. I don't know. But it's like, they're both famous. They have money. You know, they just went to Vegas and got married and then went to In-N-Out after. I don't know. It just, like I said, it just seems very low effort considering what they could have done. And I feel like with what we know now, I feel like that was probably a decision on his part. Just saying. That's probably his idea and she just ran with it. But who knows? Maybe that's what she wanted. But, you know, I don't know. The whole thing just is a weird vibe. So after they got married, she moved her children, her two girls, over to America. And they bought a $8 million Brooklyn brownstone, which I think brownstone is like a East Coast, big city, like real estate, like term. I haven't heard it ever in California. To me, it just looks like a townhome. We call them townhomes. Maybe over there they call them brownstones. But a brownstone. Brooklyn, $8 million. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful home. They did, and it's like, looking back now, this video they did is like chef's kiss, but they did a Architectural Digest tour of their home a couple of years ago, and now that they're going divorced and going through, you know, everybody knows kind of what happened, that video is resurging and getting a lot of views, and it's very, very, very telling. If you haven't seen it and you are interested in this topic, go watch their video. Their tour of their home. It's on Architectural Digest YouTube channel. Just search it. It's very, very, very telling. But yeah, they bought that house together. She moved her girls over here to America with her. And there's a very interesting part of that video when they're in the kitchen and they're talking, you know, they're doing the tour. And I don't know if it's him or her. I think it's him. No. Maybe it's her. I have to watch it again. That mentions, you know, how much the home cost, which is $8 million, and that she wouldn't have been able to afford to live somewhere like that if it wasn't for him. Now, to me, that seems hard to believe because she is a famous singer. I mean, maybe she doesn't have as much money as he does, but to say that you wouldn't be able to live somewhere really nice, I don't know. It just seemed... I don't know anything about her finances. I don't know anything, but like, it's just odd. It seems interesting. I guess he would make more money because he's in, you know, on a bunch of shows and movies. So I guess he has more money than her, but it was more, I guess, the way that she said it. I wouldn't be able to afford this without him. Like, it seemed like that is something that when they argue, he holds that over her head. That's the vibe I got. Like, if they're arguing about something, he says some bullshit like, well, you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. You wouldn't be living in this house. I bought this house for you and your kids. And, you know, I've changed my whole life. And now I'm a family man. And, like, that's the vibe that I got from when she said that. And that is a huge red flag because nobody should ever be holding something like that over your head. You know, if you're married and purchasing a home together and all of that, like, that's very manipulative, abusive BS, if that's what happened. I don't know, this is just my speculation from like watching clips on YouTube of the two. So David Harbour is an actor,
And in my experience, not that I've dated like anybody famous or anything like that, but, you know, I'm in California and there are a lot of artistic types here. There are a lot of musicians, actors, people that do a lot of theater. They write music, they have bands. And those types, artist types, are very into their art and their craft. In my experience, from what I've dealt with and with other my friends that have dated men like this, they're very self-absorbed. They're very into them and their work and their craft and how they can get better and devoting time to making, you know, making their art and making their music, writing their scripts and all of that stuff, which is fine. That's your craft. And if it's your job, you know, that's your passion. Great, great, great. But for me, it seems like it crosses a line, like, where it's like their only priority and they can't, you know, they need their time, their space for me to work on their craft and their art, and they can't focus on anything else. And it's a bunch of BS to me. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there are a ton of people that have successful relationships with artists and musicians and people in entertainment, but it just wouldn't work for me. And he seems like that very introspective actor. I need to study my lines and my craft, and very kind of introspective, which we know now, he still had an apartment. He's like, he still kind of held on to a single guy apartment, and he held on to it so he could focus and work, and he needed space to himself, which he was doing some other stuff at the apartment. But it just doesn't work. I just, that dynamic with somebody, if you really want a partner where you are spending a ton of time together and you're very engaged with each other, that kind of person doesn't work. And he is an actor and he seems like that kind of person. I can remember a couple years ago, or several years ago, reading an article talking about John Mayer and Jennifer Aniston's relationship. And this didn't come out of the horse's mouth. Neither one of them said this. This was just like speculation. So I don't know if it's sure or not. But one of the reasons why their relationship didn't work was because he would be in the studio recording and writing and making his music, and he would ignore her phone calls and texts for hours and hours and hours and hours at a time. You know, he's John Mayer, he's in the studio, he's working, he needs to focus, he can't be answering phone calls and texts. And she didn't like that, obviously, and he wouldn't stop doing that. And that's what I mean, like, I think it's very self-absorbed. It's like they're very into themselves and what they have to do, and they don't care like about the other people that are in their lives. So like those, I don't know, those, it's like they're not good partners because they're so into what they have going on, and it just doesn't work if you want a stable, long-term like relationship where you're both really invested. Personally, I think that like the whole I'm working on my craft, you know, I'm in the studio, I'm writing, I'm painting, recording, whatever, getting into this character so I can't talk to you, is a bunch of BS. Like, it takes 30 seconds to send a text. It takes, you know, you can call somebody and talk for a minute, check in, and be good. Like, that's a bunch of BS, but that's what I'm saying. These artist types are just very, they can't think outside of themselves. And I totally see that with David Harbour. And he's always away working. I mean, he is an actor, as we've said. So he acts, so he's always away on sets in different locations. I would assume a large portion of the year for several months. I think Stranger Things films in Atlanta. And, you know, all the other movies and stuff that he does, like, he's filming and working all over the world. So when do you have time to spend with the person you're married to? I couldn't do that. Like, I as a person who I am as a partner in a relationship, or especially in this position as single moms where we, like, you know, have met somebody and we want the companionship and we want somebody to, you know, be there for us day in and day out. We're longing for it. Having a spouse who works away all the time does not work. It's just not, it wouldn't work. And I think the distance and the space that creates in the relationship between the two people I think can lead to affairs and dating other people, sleeping with other people. And it kind of justifies it in maybe the cheater's mind because they're always away. They're never with their partner. So they have to, you know, sleep with somebody if they're not around their partner. And it just doesn't. Somebody that travels that extensively and is always in different places, meeting other people on sets. Nah, it's not going to work. But I think that we can learn a lot from her relationship with him. And I think a lot of it stems down to him and stems down to how men like him go after single moms. So she, you know, we're lonely. It's very hard to be a single person, especially a single mom. I think just like motherhood in general is a very lonely experience at times, whether no matter what your circumstances. But when you're a single parent, you don't have that partner there every night to talk to ask how your day was. You're dealing with everything all on your own, all the errands, taking the kid to school, cleaning. It's literally like all of it is on your shoulders. And like I said, you're lonely and it's hard. And so I don't want to say you're desperate for companionship, but I think that if you can get yourself in a bad situation with the wrong person because you're very lonely and you're craving somebody. And you see your friends who like have partners who it seems like, oh, they have their husband, you know, they can spend time with them. They can go on vacation. They can go on dinner. They can get like adult time away from kids. And you want that. And so I think as single moms, we can fall into that trap of just like being with anybody that would give us attention because we want somebody. But also, men know this. I would say, I do think that men necessarily aren't that smart, but I also think they also are very smart, where they can sense loneliness, desperation, and like if you're willing to like settle and put up with nonsense, like they can smell that from a woman. And I think they see single moms, and because it gets such a bad rap in society, they think like she's lonely, she wants partners, she wants companionship, and they'll go after you. And eventually, once you're all wrapped up in them, you know, revert back to their old ways of not being the greatest person. And because you're lonely, you kind of put up with it. You know, that's kind of what I feel like. I feel like even whether it's consciously or subconsciously, men, or maybe even specifically David Harbour, he went after her. Maybe part of the reason why that relationship and her was so appealing to him after having been single for a very long time and, you know, just dating, sleeping around. Maybe that relationship was appealing to him because he knew how lonely and how hard it was for her to be single, and that she would kind of put up with things that he did because she didn't want to be alone. Because like I said, these men know. They know. They can smell it. They get a sense of it. And they'll move in and have their way with you. You know, and she also, like, he convinced her to move all the way to America, to New York City from the UK. I don't know where they lived in the UK, but all the way from the UK, moved over there. He bought this beautiful house for them. She moved and she changed her whole entire life to be in a marriage and a relationship with him. Now, I don't want to say that that's not something that you shouldn't do if you meet somebody and you fall in love, but I think, you know, very quickly changing your whole entire life, taking your kids away from what they know, who they know. I'm assuming their father lives in the UK. You know, that's the only place they've ever lived. And, you know, he kind of like convinced her to move to the US, I guess. And to me, I don't know. It's kind of a red flag, or like another reason how he kind of pulled her in to an eventual very toxic situation, because she's all the way in another country with her children. I'm assuming she doesn't know as many people here as she knows where she's from, the country she's from. So when they get in conflict and arguments, like, where is she going to go? I mean, I'm sure she has friends here, but like she went and switched up her entire life for this man, for this marriage, So when he starts to like kind of act up and the relationship's having problems, like, where is she going to go? You know, but he knew that. He knew that. Also, and we see this with so many men, I don't care how much money you have, what job you do. And it's really more of how society treats and frames fatherhood or men. But, you know, he could step into this stepfather, knight in shining armor role, and it could boost his professional profile, his personal profile, well, personal and professionally, because he has married this woman who was a poor, not poor like money, but like, you know, figuratively, this like lonely, you know, single mom, and she didn't have a man, and she needed to have a family. And so he came in and he's rescued them, and he's a knight in shining armor, and now they're living in this big house in New York City, and really played into this girl dad stepfather role. He took them to Taylor Swift concerts, and he cooks them for them, and he blah 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 blah, and it boosted him professionally, because now he's a dad and he's a family man. And when you watch that Architectural Digest video of the tour of their home, the first thing he says, he opens the door, he's like, AD, what are you doing here? I'm a family man now. Like, he really played up the whole, you know, I'm a great guy, I'm a girl dad, you know, I have this family now, I've changed my ways. And that's going to do nothing but boost his profile. And so many men will do this, not just rich and famous men, but like so many men, they want to be married, they want the kids and the house and all of that, but they don't really want that lifestyle. They know that it will help elevate their business if they have a wife and kids, especially if they marry a single mom and start taking care of her kids and make a family with her children. Oh my gosh, she's going to be a saint. And I think that's what David Harbour did here. Whether or not he was intentionally doing that, or that's just kind of how it all kind of manifested. But he took this marriage that he was in with this woman who had two children and used it to boost his career and look like a great guy. And don't let them do that to you. Don't, you know, really, like, I think that if she had like dated him for longer and not moved to another country with her children, she would have eventually seen his true intentions, because he would have eventually been like, this, I'm not going to put this much effort into things. I don't actually really care too deeply about our relationship or your children. And it would have been over, you know. So just don't fall into that trap, because, you know, in my experience with men is that as they get older, they don't change. They get more set in their ways and they're not going to change. And yeah, I don't know. But let's talk a little bit. So I say all of this about David Harbour and about their relationship, but I do want to say that I know that Lily Allen is no angel. You know, has like openly talked about her having substance abuse issues, drinking, using drugs very heavily. She did, you know, cheat on her first husband. That's how, well, probably I'm assuming part of the reason why their marriage ended was because she was unfaithful. She was cheating on him on tour, hiring sex workers or prostitutes to sleep with while drinking and doing drugs. So she, you know, she is no angel. She has a fair share of issues. She has a podcast. It's titled Miss Me, and she co-hosts it with a like childhood friend of hers. I listen on Spotify, but it's produced by BBC Radio over in the UK. There was an episode a couple of months ago where they were talking about sex and their sexual experiences and sexual health and all of that. And it came out in the episode that between the two of them, they have had a total of 10 abortions. Now, I don't know how that gets divided up, 5 and 5. I don't know. But hearing something like that is, whoa, shocking. I don't want to get too deep into the abortion issue. I am definitely pro-choice, but I just don't think that abortion needs to be used as contraception and as birth control. There's still a level of accountability and responsibility that you have as a human being, as a woman, to take care of your body and to respect your body. And I think that you still have a responsibility to take care of yourself. And why would you want to put your body through that? I just think I hear that and I think like very low self-esteem. Somebody that has had those experiences or whatever, you can't think highly of yourself. You can't have any respect for yourself. Things happen and, you know, of course, everybody, you know, women should be able to have the choice to make the decisions they feel are best for themselves. That doesn't mean that they have low self-esteem or something's wrong with them, but that many times to just be kind of careless, you know. I love Lily Allen, but that is not good. And hopefully, I mean, I'm sure those all happened a while ago. So hopefully she's learned and has grown and is a better person. Let's hope, because wow. Okay, so where are we now with those two? So they're divorced, no longer together. She recently came out with an amazing album called West End Girl, and it has several songs about the marriage, about the relationship, about the breakdown of the marriage, and it's pretty, that's kind of how I became privy to all of this, is hearing about that album that she made, that she just released. There's a song on the album called Madeline, where she refers to a woman who David Harbour was having a 3.5 year relationship with, 3.5 year affair. So pretty much the entire duration of their marriage, she was having an affair with this woman. Her name is Natalie Tibbett. She is a costume designer who worked on the set of Stranger Things. And this goes back to like what I was saying a couple minutes ago about when your spouse is always away, working away for months at a time on a set in a totally different location than where you live. You're nowhere close by. It's just a recipe for infidelity. It's a recipe for disaster, I think. I don't think that is a good idea to have a partner that's working and always away, because that is what happens. Look, he had a whole other girlfriend for 3.5 years that he worked with. He also, what we find out in a song called Pussy Palace, that David Harbour kept his, you know, single guy apartment in the West Village in New York City, and he needed that apartment to have time to focus, you know, and work, which is going back to what I was saying earlier about how these guys who are artists and they need their space and their time to work. So he kept this apartment and told his wife he's keeping it so that he has space to clear his head when he needs to work. When in reality, he was bringing not only the girl he was having an affair with, but multiple women or people, I don't know if it was men too, over to that apartment to have sex. So that's why he kept the apartment, not because he needed the time to focus on work and get really deep into what he was doing, because he wanted to have a space where his wife wasn't and the kids weren't there and he could bring whoever he wanted to fuck. Also, in the song titled Pussy Palace, she writes something about, I guess, in the apartment, finding a bag full of sex toys, butt plugs. I don't know what butt plugs are. I can only imagine. Lube and hundreds of condoms in a Dwayne Reed bag. I don't know what Dwayne, I don't know why. Like, every article that I've read about this particular thing happening with this bag of toys, it's always mentioned that it was in a Dwayne Reed bag. I don't know what that is. Maybe that's like a European, I don't know. Let me see. Let me Google Dwayne Reed. I've never heard of that until now. Let me see. Dwayne Reed is a New York pharmacy. Oh, it's like Walgreens or CVS. Oh, okay. But it's only on the East Coast. Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know why this stuff being in a Dwayne Reed bag is so important to the story, but she found all of that stuff in the apartment. I don't know. I mean, yeah, he kept his apartment, so of course he's bringing girls over there to have sex. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. And then we find out, too, in this album, that he sprung it on her, like, halfway through their marriage, that he wanted to have an open marriage. He wanted to be able to sleep with other women and not have it be labeled as cheating or infidelity. Now, he was probably we know he was already sleeping with other women prior to asking her, but he never stopped being a shitty person. He never stopped fucking around with other women. He never never stopped. But what he did was he got a girlfriend, married her, moved her, started taking care of her kids, moved them into this beautiful home. And once all that was happening, he then suddenly switched it up and was honest with her about wanting an open marriage, an open relationship, being able to sleep with other people. They agreed to have terms of like, but you know, no emotional attachments. It's just going to be about sex. And, you know, it can't be anybody that either one of us knows. He can't sleep with anybody that she knows, which he didn't honor that. But I think, you know, it's interesting that that is what he wanted all along. But he knew, like I said, he knew he had to pull her in to, one, look like a good guy, but two, to be able to ask for what he wanted eventually. Because she moved to another country with her kids, changed their whole life harder for her to say, no, I don't want an open marriage. I don't want this open relationship. I don't want you sleeping with anybody else. It would be harder for her to say that after she's changed her whole life. Because what is she going to do? Where is she going to go? What is she going to do? She's married this guy. She's all invested emotionally. Her kids are invested emotionally. So when he all of a sudden switches it up, which was, this was, like I said, this was probably always his intention. It was, because he's cheating the entire relationship. She's going to feel pressure to just say yes and go along with it because she's changed her whole life. Because he came in and changed her whole life. So now he can get what he wants. He can get her and the kids and look like a good guy, a family man. And he can have an open relationship with butt plugs and whatever. And screw whoever he wants. And fuck the costume designer and the intern at Netflix or whatever. It's bullshit. Do not fall for that mess. Do not. Learn from this situation. Don't let your loneliness or your desire for financial help and stability, and even like especially men that have money, like, or you know, can provide, that make more money than you do, like, there's so much more to look out for in a relationship than somebody that can just provide financially. Please, 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 like, look out for all these red flags and take your time. I feel like, and I've yet to meet somebody like this, but like, I feel like if a man is really invested, really interested, and wants to, you know, really invest in you and your child, give it some time for him to show that. If his intentions are not sincere, or he has nefarious reasons for wanting to be in this relationship, or wants to move things really quickly, move you and your kids halfway around the country, and all of this stuff, if he really is very serious about doing that, if you give it time, it will show. If you rush it because you're afraid of losing him and because you just want the relationship, you're gonna crash and burn like this. So please look out for the red flags with men. As they get older, they don't change, they're set in their ways. And just take care of yourself, take care of your kids, and don't let all of these hardships that we experience as single moms, do not let them get you into a bad relationship. Learn from her mistakes, her lessons. I'm sure she's happy to have you learn from them. And just be on the lookout for those red flags. So I think I'll wrap it up here. I hope that you guys enjoyed this. I hope it wasn't too much rambling. But like I said, I've been really reading and watching a ton of content on this. So I thought it would be a good topic to talk about for the podcast. So I will talk to you guys later. Bye.